At this time, I will call the meeting to order of the Franklin Township Board of Trustees special meeting on March 28th, 2024 at 10 a.m. And I would, I'd like to open with prayer if everyone bow their heads. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, Lord. We praise you for everything you're doing in the township and in the state of Ohio and in the country, Lord. Lord, just lead all the leaders to make the right decisions that you would have for this country. Lord, and guide those making the decisions here today. In Jesus' precious and holy name, amen.
Amen.
And I'd like to ask State Rep. Brian Stewart if he would lead us in the prayer. I mean, the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you very much. Can we get a roll call, please?
James?
Yes.
Mike?
Yes.
And what's the status of Trustee Fleshman?
Trustee Fleshman is excused.
Okay, thank you.
Due to illness. All right, at this time, I would ask State Rep. Brian Stewart to step forward. I've asked him to come here today. We have Lindsay to be sworn in as fiscal officer. She's been sitting appointed. She got elected in November. Now it's time to get her sworn in today as the official elected fiscal officer. So, and Mr. Stewart will have some time to let us know what's going on in the state of Ohio.
Right,
floor's
months.
Yours.
That's right here.
Yeah, right there. Fine.
Is there anyone that's recorded or anything?
James wants some pictures.
If you want me to take pictures?
I will.
If you don't mind.
Ryan will.
You're on, Ryan.
Okay, somebody's doing it. Who's doing it? Okay.
Nicole has the camera, by the way, too.
You gonna let Ryan take pictures?
Okay.
Ready to roll? All right. Repeat after me.
Just raise my hand.
Yes. Raise your hand. Repeat after me. I and state your name.
I, Lindsay Justice.
Do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
That I will support the Constitution of the United States.
That I will support the Constitution of the United States.
And the Constitution of the State of Ohio.
And the Constitution of the State of Ohio.
And I will in all respects.
And I will in all respects.
Obey and comply.
Obey and comply.
With the resolutions, rules, and regulations.
With the resolutions, rules, and regulations.
As set forth by the Board of Trustees of Franklin Township.
As set forth by the Board of Trustees of Franklin Township.
And will faithfully discharge the duties of my office.
And will faithfully discharge the duties of my office.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Thank you. Well done.
It's a good day. It's a good day. But Mr. Stewart, yeah, fill out the paperwork here and we will be moving forward and letting him brief us on what's going on at the great State House.
Well, appreciate the opportunity with everybody and appreciate the work you do in township government. I was county commissioner for 8 years. I had a lot of experience working with townships in my district. I will say you're very well represented by the Ohio Township Association. There's a lot of alphabet soup government associations out there. You may want to sign those for you.
Yep.
Okay. Alphabet soup groups that are there, and not all of them are as effective as your township association. So. In the state budget, you know, what you guys want takes a lot of precedence. And so we've done things like, when it comes to force accounts, allowing the county to have a little bit more leeway to do that. I think that benefits townships. One of the things we heard from townships in the last budget was that, you know, those competitive bidding thresholds were too low. And, you know, you can't even buy a truck anymore without having to, you know, post and do all these readings and all this rigmarole. We changed that, we bumped that up so that that's not only raised initially, but it's going to keep going up, kind of pegged to inflation. So I think those are some good things we're trying to do to be good partners at the State House for townships. I'll tell you, there is always some groups and some folks out there that want to talk about, you know, reining in township this or eliminating township that. Tune out a lot of that. I mean, be vigilant and work through your association, but I will tell you there's a lot more bark than bite when it comes to that. I certainly don't foresee, you know, completely upsetting the apple cart when it comes to zoning or anything else. I think as with everything, there's tweaks to be made and adjustments here or there. We do that to counties, we do that to the state, we do that to the governor. Nobody is completely exempt from a little bit of change, but you know, what you do is important. And you know, certainly with, you know, police and fire and all the things that you provide, we want to be a good partner. So I've been in local government, and so it's never far from my mind at the State House, and we just want to make sure that the things that you need are being heard. And I appreciate the opportunity to come and meet with you, and obviously to it's always better to be elected than appointed, so congratulations.
Thank you.
But beyond that, happy to answer questions or happy to get out of your way.
I will open the floor for a few questions if anyone has a question for our state rep. Go ahead.
Are you able to help with any type of zoning?
In what respect?
Okay, so we have a developer that wants to build low-income housing, which low-income housing isn't a problem. It's where they want to put it, and there is wetlands behind my house, and it sits down, you know, in the valley. And they want to build the apartments up here. Well, it's going to disrupt everyone on our side in the township. And it's the city of Columbus on the other side of the creek from me. Okay, and I've gotten a hold of EPA, ODNR, all of that. But what they don't realize is it's going to flood our properties. We're going to lose our wells. Because once they dig that pond, which is below our where our well level is, it could hit the aquifer. And it has happened, I believe, back in 1973 when they were building I-270.
Okay.
So that's the problem that we have. Yeah. And also, I found the map. Why everyone in my neighborhood thought that the land behind me was part of Reddick Park, because Franklin County map shows that it's Reddick Park.
Well, let's do this because obviously now we're getting into maps and we don't have in front of us. I'll give you my card. It's got my cell. It's got my office email. If you send me everything that you've got that's a concern, you know, we can talk to some of those agencies too.
Thank you.
Itself. You know, I tell people the trade-off of having local zoning is locals got to do their zoning, right? And so with the responsibility comes, you know, with the right comes the responsibility. And so, you know, the state doesn't really get involved in, you know, a township zoning decision here or there. But if it's a, you know, Columbus is doing something that affects the township, we can weigh in one way or another. So I'll make sure you have my card and... happy to keep talking to you about it.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
If you could leave a few cards up here.
Yeah,
yes, please.
Yeah, Lindsay has to leave. She's in 3 days of conferences, and thank you.
Yep, thank you guys. Mm-hmm. Have a good day.
Anyone else have any questions? Okay. I tell you, State Rep Stewart is not here in Franklin Township, but he is probably the hardest working state rep that I personally know at the State House. And if he says something, he's going to do it. He's going to give it his 100% to get it done. So we've known each other for a few years now. But thank you so much for coming today.
Appreciate you having me. Yep.
And yeah, if you need to take off. I know you don't. You have enough boring meetings.
I love meetings, but they fill up my calendar. You
yeah.
know? I got to fill this out for you here.
No, it's fine.
Did you have a question?
No, just that. Can you put them in and everything? So.
We got a signal now.
the term information blank and have you fill that in?
Yes, sir. We can do that.
Yes. Yes, sir.
Well, while everything's being signed, I will let everyone know that we will not be taking public questions or comments today, as this is a business meeting and we are going to be moving quickly through them. So, with that being said, I will turn the meeting over to Mr. Mazur, which he has a few things on the agenda.
Thank you, Chairman. I just have three resolutions for the trustees this morning. The first resolution is 2024-040. It's approving the acceptance of the 2024 MORE grant for the road department from OTARMA. Be resolved by the Board of Trustees of Franklin Township, Franklin County, Ohio, that the board approves and authorizes the acceptance of a $1,000 MORE, which is the Managing Ohio's Risk Exposures Grant, administered by OTARMA, again, the Ohio Township Association Risk Management Authority for the Township Road Department. And there is an attached exhibit for your review as well. This is something that all the departments do annually, and I gotta commend our department heads because they're diligent in applying for these grants.
I would so move on as the resolution is written, and I would ask if there's any discussions. Hearing no discussion, I would ask for a second.
I'll second.
Can we have a roll call?
Jim?
Yes.
Mike?
Yes.
And John's excused.
John's excused. Thank you, ma'am.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, Mr.
Okay. The next resolution I have is 2024-041. It's a resolution approving the acceptance of a grant from the Marathon Petroleum Corporation Foundation for the Township Fire Department to purchase a thermal imager. Be resolved by the Board of Trustees of Franklin Township, Franklin County, Ohio, that the board approves and authorizes the acceptance of a $6,000 grant from Marathon Community Investment Programs under the Marathon Petroleum Corporation Foundation for the Township Fire Department for the purchase of an FLIR thermal imager. And again, there's an exhibit attached as well.
So I will so move as the resolution is written, and I'd ask if there's any discussion. Hearing no discussion, I would ask for a second.
I'll second.
Roll call, ma'am.
Jim?
Yes.
Mike?
Yes.
And John is excused.
And the last resolution I have is resolution 2024-042. It's a resolution approving the acceptance of the SHEP, which is the Summer Holiday Enforcement Program grant from the Ohio Department of Public Safety for the Township Police Department. Be resolved by the Board of Trustees of Franklin Township, Franklin County, Ohio, that the board approves and authorizes the acceptance of the grant from the Ohio Department of Public Safety to reimburse the Township Police Department for specific tasks as outlined in the grant. And again, I have exhibits attached for your review as well.
Robin, you may not be able to answer this. I'm sorry, Ms. Watkins. The chief said he was going to go over and make sure you guys had all the information.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess all the department heads on these grants should have probably, but this one especially because it has to do with payroll and the way it's accounted.
Yeah, I've actually spoken to Chief Smith and to Sergeant Pollock, who kind of oversees the mm-hmm. program on the police side. We had a meeting yesterday to go over next steps and what's the expectations for both parties, because they have to post the overtime, which falls on the police department. You know, I don't
right.
post overtime over here. So they're going to be handling that part of it based on the deliverables of the grant, and then Sergeant Pollock will be giving me that information. So I think we're in a good place.
Fiscal's a good point mm-hmm. with it. I will so moved on the resolution as it is written, and I will ask if there's any discussion. Hearing none, I would ask for a second.
I'll second.
Can we have a roll call, ma'am?
Mm-hmm. Jim?
Yes.
Mike?
Yes. And John's excused.
Then the next thing I have for you, trustees, one, we had talked in a previous meeting about having the employee handbook signed by all the employees along with the policies and procedures by April 1. Mm-hmm. We're having a little issue with our employee navigator, so I have to thank Rob, and she's working closely with, who's it, Brian Lenzo, our MMO?
Yeah, Brian Lenzo and his team.
Trying to fix the glitch in the system.
Okay.
So I'd like to extend that deadline, so to speak, until May 1 of 2024 to get this glitch fixed, and then give the employees ample time to.
I will make a motion to extend the time period for all employees signing off on the handbook until May 1 due to a glitch in the system. Any discussion on this? Hearing none, I would ask for a second.
I'll second.
Ma'am, can we have a roll call?
Mm-hmm. Jim?
Yes.
Mike?
Yes.
John's excused.
And then the last thing I have, and I think we can do this by motion. We use a third-party administrator called Charge Snyder to oversee our FMLA used by the employees. And I would like to continue using their services. And they do a great job. They take a lot off our plate by handling all the paperwork and making sure the employees fill out all the documentation they need. They administer the program, watch all the time that employees are using. So it does take a lot off of our plate.
Okay. Are they charging us anything?
Yeah, I now that you mention it, they do, Robin. Mm-hmm. See, so, yes.
Yeah, we're going to have a resolution on that.
So what I'd like to do then is the next meeting, which is April 4th, have a resolution prepared for you.
I don't have any questions, and I understand it, but I would.
You're good?
No, I'm good.
And then what I'll do is I'll have all the exhibits and documentation for you.
You know, we'll still give opportunity for discussion.
Absolutely.
Since Mr. Falkman is not here. But anything else? You said that was the last item.
That's
but
it.
I'm looking at the agenda, and I know you have some other items.
No. That's it. We just, Chief, have you decided who's going to lead off?
Mr. Stevens, the floor is yours. You have 10 minutes, and the clock has started.
Oh, thanks, Jim. First of all, I guess I should clarify.
Yeah.
With Mr. Stevens, he's the township road superintendent. The township is in need of a new garage, a service garage, for all the equipment that the residents have purchased for the township over the past few years. So what Mr. Stevens has done, Ryan, his right-hand man, has helped him. They are getting specs and bids and quotes as to what a sufficient building would cost. So what Mr. Stevens is doing today, this is the first step of many to come, because we want to be very diligent with your taxpayer dollars as to the type of building we need and what we can afford. So as I said, this is the first step that Mr. Stevens is going to present to the trustees, just to bring them up to speed as well as the public.
Have we got back from, I want to say architect, but I don't believe that's correct.
Surveyor.
The surveyors.
We do. We've got both those. Both those have been completed for the property at 2193 and the property at 4100.
Did they render a statement on which they thought would be more suited?
What we did, we had the surveyor plot the building.
Okay.
Different directions on the site. And again, this is something that we want to present to you trustees to see it.
I guess I need to hush.
No, you're fine. You're fine. And as for this building here, the footprint, we look to tear it down. The cost to tear that down from the first quote I have is about $30,000. But for what we need, when I say we as a township need, we thought using that footprint to put a new garage on there, but the footprint is not big enough for all the equipment. So we're going to end up with parking, so to speak, and then a new building. And again, I'm probably speaking out of turn because it's a decision that trustees are going to make.
All right.
But from what we have been told and what Jim thinks the township needs, this footprint is just not enough.
Well, I didn't think it would be when we was discussing it, but we're also looking at the fact that someday Bob's going to need a new firehouse here, and we'll need that frontage. But go ahead, Mr. Stevens, you have your presentation. Now the clock will start.
Well, we appreciate, Ryan and I appreciate you gentlemen taking a second to sit here and listen. I know that between Mr. Mazur, Ryan, and I, we've been working really diligently trying to get all this information put together, and as we move along, we'll just keep feeding things to you. Kind of touch base on what you're talking about meeting with the surveyor.
Mm-hmm.
I met with the surveyor on both properties, and we walked it. And Mr. Mazur's correct. When we looked at, we're very grateful, first of all, we're extremely grateful as a road department to finally have the equipment that we need to be able to do our job efficiently and correctly. The problem we've run into is now that we've got all the stuff that we need, we've got equipment sitting outside that really shouldn't be sitting outside. It all needs to be in a building. So the footprint that we have here, in order to build a building that can house everything, we don't have the depth to go any further. And we don't have the width to go any longer than what we've already got. So that footprint right here would not suffice what it is that we're needing. So then when the three of us met with the gentleman up on Sullivan Avenue, and he finally got to see some of the drawings that we'd sent him, and then he laid it out on here, it made more sense to be able to put it on that open lot.
Well, yeah.
So... okay.
I've always thought that myself. But.
Yeah. Let me figure out where to get started here. What I want to give to you is we've received two quotes now, and it's two different directions. We're looking at this in two different ways. One is a turnkey, mm-hmm. to where we literally just give our plans, or we have an architect draw up new plans or whatever. They sub that out. They get it to a contractor. Which we are working right now, mm-hmm. with a contractor, mm-hmm. out of Dublin,
mm-hmm.
to where they just turn around and give us the keys and say, here, your building is ready for you to go in. What we're finding is the cost differential from having a turnkey building compared to kind of like doing it in phases and utilizing your road department, which actually has the ability to do a lot of this prep work and work ourselves to save taxpayer dollars. Having a company, which one of the quotes we have is having a company come in and literally build the shell, and these quotes, these prices are completed with inside and out in the, like when I say complete the shell, the build the building, build a lean-to on the back side of the building, concrete to get poured, they'll come back in, and this quote also includes them putting white metal throughout the entire building, walls, ceilings, and insulation, everything. It would be a complete project then. Then what we would have to do is move into another step, and on the inside of the building where we would have, and this facility, so everybody knows, this building would be where your road department, that would be our main building. That's where we would be working out of. We would report there. That's where we would be working out of every day. So with that being said, that's where we would have our offices, the bathrooms, break rooms, so on and so forth. So what I want to give to you first is, and I got plenty of stuff here, this is the first quote that we received as a turnkey project. And this would be through Kirkham Builders out of Delaware. think Steve, you already got one.
Yeah.
I think there you go.
Yes.
Oh, you want that one? Actually smaller than the other one.
Kevin, that's one I give to John.
Yeah, I mean, Robin, you need one. Yeah, you're gonna need one for the record. This building here, what we're looking to build, it's 60-foot deep by 120-foot long, 16-foot peak. This quote from Kirkham, he quoted us a 60-foot building by 104-foot long by 14-foot, 2 inches. So this building is actually a little bit smaller than what we have, you know, getting quoted with our other quotes. The very last page will show you the figure that he gave us on a turnkey, which is, that's a good one. This next one is a company that we're familiar with, and we're very familiar with, and actually I'm very familiar with Kirkham's also, because I've, in my profession away from here, I had done some run-ins with them and seen some of the work that they've done. This next one is a quote that we've received from Pickwell Lumber, who has given us a quote to go ahead and see. This is from Robin. This is a company that's given us the quote so far to put the building up, the structure up, all the metal inside and out, with us doing the prep work of getting the bases ready, the gravel ready for the base. If you look, and I know on my sheet I totaled it up. It is substantially less going this route than what it is for a turnkey. So if you look on your first page, that first highlighted figure is them putting the shell up with all the metal and everything on the outside. You go to the third page, that highlighted figure is them finishing off everything on the inside, all of the metal and everything on the inside.
Insulation.
With insulation. That's with the walls insulated, roof insulated, ceiling insulated, which would make it a lot easier this route for us to go back in, whether it's something we end up doing, which we're capable of doing, running the electric, or having an outside contractor come in and do it. They can run all the electric and everything on the outside of the metal, inside the building. Everything's exposed, easily, you know, accessible if anything needed to be added, changed, or whatever. But that figure is, to me, my opinion, is a good start, kind of in the right direction.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of in the right direction compared.
That's a little easier to
swallow.
Look at.
Yeah.
I'm not even going to attempt to swallow the other.
No. No. So, with that being said, we've got another quote, and I was hoping we was going to have it today, from Dublin Building Systems, which we all went up and met with Rich from
Ireland.
Dublin Building, Ireland.
Mm-hmm.
And
I've worked really, they do some really nice
programs. Oh, they do. And Rich actually texted me this morning and apologized. He was going to try to have some estimated budget figures for us today. He texted me this morning and he said, Jim, I guarantee it, I'll have it by next Wednesday. So
you can give them to us next Thursday at the meeting?
Sure. I can do that.
Yeah. I do know they do some really nice buildings.
They do.
But they are,
they're
not cheap.
Mm-hmm. No. No, and you know,
still,
it's going to be at the direction of the board, and I know that we have some questions that Steve's working on being able to do it in steps for other reasons, and I think it's going to be a little bit more cost efficient. We feel it's going to be more cost efficient and better for the taxpayers if we kind of go. The turnkey would be great, don't get me wrong. I'd love for somebody, just because that's when we used to build homes. I know they loved it. You just hand them the keys, they move in.
Yeah, that would be nice, but you know, we as you know, we have a limited budget.
Sure.
But I know this will be a hot topic, is if you guys would be doing the work on it,
mm-hmm.
how is that going to affect our residents and what you're doing for on the roads, alleys, brush pickup, yeah, and so forth.
We, in our meetings that we have back here, we've discussed this, and we all feel pretty confident that the majority of all the prep work Ryan and I can do, which is still going to leave three guys, and possibly now we should be having our summer help come in.
Mm-hmm.
So it would be an appropriate time to be able to do it because we wouldn't be strangled down on manpower. But the majority of all this prep work between Ryan and I, which we're very capable of doing all the work, we're thinking maybe only a couple weeks to get everything prepped out.
I think so.
Yep.
We shouldn't have a problem with that. It shouldn't interfere with, we'll have to schedule. We'll schedule everything to make it work, if that makes sense. So,
no. Well, I it makes sense, yeah, because you and I have discussed it, but I just wanted it on record that it will not affect the operations, day-to-day operations of the road department.
No, like I said, we would just have to schedule our tasks and our projects we've got going during that time period with all the big projects that we've got going on right now. We would have to just schedule things appropriately to make sure we don't get ourselves into a pinch of any sort.
Might not be the quickest way, but it would be the most effective, efficient, cost-efficient way of doing it. And as far as the trades, we have a good electrician on in-house.
We have that, and
what about plumbing?
The plumbing, what we would end up doing and all the prep work that we would do, which we're both very familiar with being able to do it, would be during the prep work, we would do it, we would stub in all the plumbing. We would just stub it in up through the ground so when the concrete gets poured, all of the plumbing and everything's there. Everything above ground, the plumbing, should all be pretty much all substantiated to one end of the building except for one long run over to a wash bay, water-wise. I've already contacted the city of Columbus on sanitary sewer tap and water tap, waiting to get information back from them. I've been keeping Mr. Mazur in the loop on that. Any email that I'm sending out, I'm copying Steve on.
When do you anticipate, if everything goes right, you want to be under roof and ready to roll by the cold weather again, I'm assuming?
Well, that would be nice, but
do you see it happen?
Realistically,
I think she wants to answer. Go ahead. What's your answer? You have an answer?
Now, after 40 years in the trade, I know what it's going to do.
Okay.
Go ahead, Jim.
I know with some of the quotes and everything that we've gotten from people that we've seen the work they do and how they do it, I'm not going to say that's unrealistic. It's not going to be unrealistic at all. We could be under roof and running out of there by winter.
I just asked the question.
It may not be 100%.
You know, I haven't been involved in it forever. I'm new, and I just want to know because we're going to want to know.
No, and what we would probably end up doing is once we get the shell up and they even get moved in to there, it'll be a work in progress. I mean, there'll be things that we'll be doing as we're in there, which could be part of our daily job, too. You know.
I just have a question. Just so the board knows, anything that the road department is doing that's not road related,
yes,
labor wise, will come out of the general fund.
Yep.
You know, just to make sure that we're all aware that the taxpayer dollars for the road district is road district money, that's, and that the general fund pays for the labor. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be really important to kind of know if we can forecast what you anticipate some sort of labor costs for that, so that if we have to roll this into the 25 budget for that sense of the labor.
That makes appropriations for the labor.
Right, and I know we can adjust it, but if you're thinking, based on your experience historically, what you think is going to be X amount of hours, based at rate of pay, then we can start looking constructively into the general fund for 25 so that we can support the work moving forward.
That question really excites me. Because now we're thinking in the right direction. We need to, for so long we haven't been thinking in these directions. Mm-hmm. And that Robin, I applaud you for bringing that up.
You know, that's something.
And Robin, on the right page.
Yep.
You're absolutely correct. And that's one thing, like when Ryan and I sat down and we talked about proposing this angle compared to this angle with us doing a lot of the work. Ryan and I have sat down and we've crunched numbers and time based on what the project's going to consist of, the scope of the work that we're going to have to do. the fact that we're very familiar with doing this type of work, and how long do we honestly think that, you know, it's possibly going to go. Mm-hmm. If this is something that the board decides to go this direction, we will be putting together a scope of work ahead of time. Okay. That will give you an idea of what's going on. And then the way now that I'm being, the way that I now have it put together on the computer for tracking all mm-hmm. of our non-road work hours,
yes,
it's going to make it a lot easier. And then when, with a project like this, I've even developed a program out there for a project like this to where it'll break it down all the way down to the minute, pretty much. So
yeah, I just want to make sure we can support the work, yeah, you know, because we don't want it to be, oh, the general fund's tapped out. Sorry, yeah, guys, you know, so no, if we can forecast moving into 25, sure, as the needs continue, because you're still going to have work that's probably going to flow over.
Sure.
Because you're going to get real close at the end of the year, I'm sure.
I think a lot of this money is already there in a fund.
We have, yes.
What is the name of that fund? I can't remember. I'd have to look at the budget sheet.
Jim has a building fund.
Right, and then we have capital,
yeah,
in the general fund,
yeah,
right, for buildings. So we can just make sure that that's properly budgeted going mm-hmm. into the new year, that we're not just thinking administration when we think building and general fund, that it needs to be the label for you guys.
And those figures that, you know, we were made abreast of, that's why we're trying to do our best to stay in that parameter mm-hmm. instead of jumping.
That's why this one went under here.
Yeah, instead of jumping off the
bridge
already.
That's a big swing between the two. I mean, huge
this.
Swing. But I have another question for you.
Sure.
I see it looks like you have a layout there.
Mm-hmm.
Of the inside. Do you have enough copies to share with the board?
Everybody.
Can we have them? Because I have a question. Are you going to be putting a shower in there? We had discussed about making this a possible FEMA ready facility.
Which one did I give you? Which one is it on? If you go.
We got way too much paperwork here.
Well, I thought I put it all together, and I bet you anything. As a matter of fact, I do. We want you. I'm going to just hand it down this way. And then Robin, here's one for you.
Thank you.
This is an actual layout of the building itself. Inside. If you look down to where it says a 60 by 120 by 16 pole barn, there's actually five bay doors, which... I had another picture of it. Actually, if you go to your Pickwell Lumber, go to your Pickwell Lumber, the one I just gave you the mm-hmm. quote, turn to this page. Turn to that page. That being the front of the building, there's five bay doors.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If you look now back to the one sheet that I gave you, you were asking me about restrooms. This build, the way that we're setting it up now, if you look at that sheet over on your left-hand side, there's two bathrooms. There'll be a men's and a women's,
mm-hmm.
which has everything that if we were able to go with the assistance from the state or whoever, having the two bathrooms and then with the break room, and the break room being set up with, what's the word I'm thinking of?
Kitchenette.
Yeah. Then the building, if there was a disaster of any sort that was ever to happen, we would be able to pull all the equipment out of the building, and it could be used at that time to suit the needs that you're talking about. So yeah, but that right there, that's going to come into play here in a minute. But that's just a layout of the room layout on the floor itself. So you actually have five bays, and with it being 60 foot, the building being 60 foot deep, it actually gives us room. Mm-hmm. To be able to pull a piece of equipment in and park it along that back wall, so it's under roof
mm-hmm.
and out of our way. So being able to do that. While we're on the topic of this, if you look all the way to the right-hand side where it says wash bay, talking with Todd, with Captain Broker, and he got with, what's his name?
Tool.
Yeah, Tool and Associates. Because of the size of the building, there was a possibility that it was going to have to be sprinkled mm-hmm. because of the size of the building. That's all changed. That's all changed, I guess, as of the first of the year on the size of it. Captain Broker's checking into it right now. We were asked the other day, are any of our trucks over 10,000 pounds? Unfortunately, they are. And since they're over 10,000 pounds and it's going to be considered a maintenance building, there's a possibility we would have to put up a firewall. Mm-hmm. The firewall would be a lot more inexpensive than sprinkling the entire building. So if you look over where we're proposing, when I was saying the one long run with plumbing over to the wash bay, if we had that one line that's drawn there, if we had to build a firewall, it would be that 60 foot by 16 foot, because the ceiling's already going to be finished off. It's all finished off with metal, so we would just have to build a wall up to that. Captain Broker's in the process of checking to see, with us building these offices and things over here, that takes away from the square footage, the open square footage. So he's thinking, since these walls will go to the ceiling, that could possibly be our firewall, and we wouldn't have to worry about doing this one. So there's some things that we're still working on right now to try to get the answers to it. But to answer your question, Chairman, there's two bathrooms in there that will suit the purpose that we had all talked about before, about using this building as a shelter building.
And that is the great thing about, Robin, we're starting to think in the right direction. We have to think for the future. We can no longer, as a township, get by with living for next year or year after next. We have to start thinking about 2030, 2035, 2040, when I'm gone, and done, probably in the dirt. And this township we have to keep in the mind and keep moving this township forward.
And with that being said too, and this is something the way that Ryan and I have thought about this when we were putting all of this together, this building here, going to be well past my time. I mean, Ryan's here for life, but this building alone, the way that it is built, and if you look at this picture again, on the back side of the building, it actually has a lean-to that'll run the entire distance of the building. So all of the equipment that we have will be under roof. Nothing will be set outside, you know, in nature's wrath. But this building, the way that we've got it laid out and the way that we're trying to make it work, will last the Franklin Township Road Department. They shouldn't have to do anything.
Well, it's more than just the road department. It's the community.
Oh yeah.
There could be a community disaster. Look at Indian Lake.
Oh,
those
yeah.
Poor people. And you know, we have to think multi-use. Anything we spend money on in the township, we have to look at multi-use.
And it would work. It would definitely work.
And it would definitely, yeah. It could definitely house a lot of people.
Oh yeah. So, does that answer the question?
Yep. You,
okay. So next thing I want to
give you. Any questions on that, Mike?
No,
I got it. Okay.
Next thing I want to give you, this is kind of a breakdown that we put together this morning based on just some estimated figures. This is estimated figures. Looking at with the building itself, like I said, once again, it's just all estimated figures for the material. And for doing the prep work, the concrete prep work, the equipment, the only equipment that we would literally have to rent for Ryan and I to get in there and get the project prep would be, you know, the dozer and the compaction drum, which is a sheep's foot for compaction. We're thinking on a 2-week run, I gave you the weekly rate, but I've already multiplied everything by 2 to get that number that's in red. That's an estimated figure on what we would probably have in equipment for us to be able to do what we're doing, what we need to do.
To get the base down.
And what that'll do, that'll get the base down. We'll be able to get all the topsoil and everything off, and with equipment being there, get the gravel hauled in, be able to get it put into place, get it, you know, sheet footed down, drum down, and be able to get it prepped to be able to pour the concrete. The material for the building and the lot, that is estimated off of the square footage and the tonnage that we would need per square foot. Naturally, inside the building itself, we'd have to have 6 inches of number 2 stone, which comes out to about 208 ton, $9.25 a ton. Those prices are coming off the sheet that we've got in our office now based on today's prices. And then you would top out off with 2 inches of 304 rolled in. Mm-hmm. So you're going to have an 8-inch base in the floor of the building. We will be putting in, we will, and we would have to do the work too. There'll be drainage in there, The floor will be sloped to the front doors. There'll be drainage at the doors that we would be able to tie in to the storm drains out front and or go through the oil separator, which then will go into the sanitary sewer, mm-hmm. which is probably the direction that's going to have to go.
Are we going to be recycling that? This was going through the cleaner, the oil separator.
That goes, like I said, with the oil separator, everything that comes out of the shop, which is like what we have now and Bobby has in both his firehouses, it comes through, goes into the oil separator, all of your solids settle to the bottom, your water comes up and trickles out into your sanitary sewer.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Twice a year, we have a company come in and they clean out the oil separators. They come in and clean them out.
I know there's some systems out there now that you can burn that oil.
Well, it's not all, but we don't... It's not just oil. I'm not talking about like the oil comes
okay.
out. Yeah, this is going to be like when we're washing down or when Bobby's washing
salt
down their bays,
salt
okay. and everything comes off the truck, and then it all goes through the sediments, and then that's all
okay.
extracted. So that pretty much gives you a layout for a 60 by 120 pad about what you're going to have in gravel. And if you think about that, if we were going to do it all in gravel, you would have that 2459 times three. For the simple fact is you have a lot behind the shop for storage and a lot in front of the shop because you got to have room to be able to get vehicles in and get them turned around back into the shop. The hauling of the gravel, we're working on figures on that. We have some contacts that we're getting a hold of to see, you know, what they would charge to be able to haul the material. And the material would all come from over off of Fisher Road, who we have an account with. Ryan came up with a very good idea today that with all of the asphalt work that we're having done, all the roads that we're having done this year, that we're going to go to the county and propose to them that we want all the grindings because there's no reason why we can't use the grindings and use those grindings
to top it
in the front and in the back. Instead of putting a lot more money into gravel,
mm-hmm.
we should be able to get a lot. I mean, we've got a lot of grindings here, but we should be able to start stockpiling grindings up there somewhere. Should be able to. That's a money saver. That's a huge money saver.
And it would help them because they wouldn't have to haul them this far because some of the projects are right around the corner.
Right around long.
Yep. Yeah.
How's it hold up to wear and tear?
Oh, it's rock solid.
Ronnie's always,
yeah.
It's hard.
Especially once the sun gets on it, it just heats it up and it turns it pretty much right back into asphalt.
Okay.
The concrete, we got a pricing. We had a contractor give us a price on the floor in the shop itself, and I always refer to it as a shop, okay? Berkshire Brothers, who very familiar with the company and the work that they do great work. 6-inch fiber concrete, they're estimating about $50,000 for the concrete inside the shop. Naturally, you're going to have to go thick because of the amount of the weighted equipment that we've got going in there. There will be a 4-inch apron, 10 foot deep, mm-hmm. the distance of the building in the front. So those two figures there would be estimated for your concrete right now. We have another contractor we're working with, waiting on them to get bidding, you know, get quotes back to us on that. And once again, like I said, that's with us doing all the prep work. We have it ready for them. They come in, lay the wire, get it done, form it up and go.
Okay.
Electrical, and I know, Chairman, you touch base on that. We've got a very qualified electrician within our own department, and I've turned over drawings to him, and he and Ryan's been looking at it. They're kind of working their way through on what it is that we would need, and then once we figure out what it is that we need, Quentin will work on possibly, you know, he'll work on getting some pricing,
mm-hmm.
and at the same time, with what they're doing, we can take Quentin's drawings that he's figuring out what it is we're going to need, and then if we needed to subcontract that work out, now we know what it is that we're going to need, and we can take Quentin's drawings then and distribute those and start getting quotes if a subcontractor, if we needed a subcontractor to come in and do the work. Any questions on that?
Past your 10.
I told you to reset it when you started. The offices and the break room and the restroom and the storage, working on that now based on the drawing that we have here. This is the way it's going to be set up. We were discussing today on whether or not we would actually have the room with it being a 16-foot ceiling, would we have room for storage above? Well, if we decided we possibly want to put a little bit of storage in one area of it, one part of that's definitely going to have to be beefed up with, you know, 2x6 walls, 2x8 walls, however we're going to need to be able to do it depending on what it is we want to store. And we don't want to get into the same situation we got into out here.
You better check with Todd, because if that's going to be if that's going to be your firewall, it may have to go all the way to the top.
Which is fine.
But I have a question. You have your break room in the middle of your man door. I'm asking a question.
If I shrank it down any smaller to make it fit into this picture,
okay,
you wouldn't be able to read my writing.
Okay. I'm just...
Well, there's a reason.
Hey, I look at prints all day long.
Where that door is.
This is critical sometimes.
Where that door is, there's an actual... No, I can't say it. I was going to say there's a sign on there. I'll tell you what the sign says. But no, that wall will actually fall on the other...
Okay.
A foot and a half this way.
I just wanted to, because...
I got you.
Because, you know...
I got you.
There's three of us, and John's not here, and he may have that question, and... You know, I'm seeing 16x16, and I'm doing the math, but not everyone is familiar with looking at prints. So
if you looked at it, and it says 16x16, and then you take...
Yes.
That 8 foot. And
but
that
not everyone. Yeah, that I understand that, because I look at prints all the time.
Okay.
Not everyone might not understand that by looking at it.
Yeah, I did it that way just as a reference point for everybody.
That was more of a clarification for
for
everybody.
Okay. This that I'm going to give you now is, you were talking about the aerial view that the gentleman put together for us.
Thank you.
This first picture, this is going to be the, other than the drawings that I've made on it and the scribbles I put on there, this is what the gentleman, when he came in and he surveyed everything and figured out how everything's going to work. Then he attached, and I had to kind of draw over his attachment, which I gave to Mr. Mazur. I brought it to his attention. When he put the buildings in there, he had it turned around. He had the building with a lean-to going towards Sullivan Avenue, so that's why I kind of went back in and redrew it, and I added it to it. So that's kind of an overview looking at the entire parcel. And okay, where we would be. And then the second page just kind of gives you a better zoomed in of it.
Relocating the fence into a sort of hallway to utilize that space, or
I think what we would do, and I know we kind of spoke about that, I think what we will do is we're going to have to come up with something and just say, hey, look, you just need to acknowledge that your fence is 4.5 foot over into this lot, but we need you to not tear the fence down, because we're going to utilize that for security for all of our stuff.
So we're not moving the fence.
No, I don't want to move their fence.
No, okay. That'd be an interesting endeavor.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Any questions on that?
Mm-mm.
Okay. This, the last thing that I've got for you, I drew this one up today.
Thank you.
And what this is going to show you, and I tried to get it to come out in the right color, but you're just going to have to follow me here. The green diagonal line, that's fence that is already there, 8 foot fence with barbed wire on the top.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what runs all the way in behind Chief Arnold's firehouse. And it runs along the driveway that goes back to the granary. And then you've got that little dog leg of a line that comes back. That's all fenced in. This is a fence we were just talking about. When a surveyor was there where the armory is, we found out that their fence that they've installed years and years and years and years ago actually sits 4.5 foot over into the township's parcel. So it was one of those things, speaking with Mr. Mazur, it's like, okay, do we tell them they need to move it? Based on the measurements and everything that we've already done up there on this lot, the 120 foot will fall and it won't create an issue. We've already gotten with Franklin County zoning and checked to see exactly what our setbacks are, and we're exempt from the setbacks. So we're good there, and we've got the 120 feet. But what I tried to do, and I guess it didn't really come out, but everything in green, if you go that diagonal line, and then you come on down, and then where the big blue box is where it says maintenance shop, there's a line right there beside that. We would just have to add this section of fence here. It's just a small section of fence there. And then on the back side, there's a green line that comes out that diagonal line down to the gravel lot, which will literally go all the way to the lean-to with a double gate there. Now what we have is we have a storage area that is secured by 8-foot fence. One of the biggest problems that we have sitting right here right now is we've had so many batteries stolen out of our equipment sitting out back, so much fuel stolen out of our equipment out back, and there's really no way to, I mean, we don't have the room for anything. So I just kind of drew this up today to kind of give you an idea about the fence, mm-hmm. how we'll actually be able to secure that entire area back there. And with the lean-to being on the back of the building, now literally everything will be in out of the weather. And then where it says it in red, a proposed area for a future salt shed, if I remember right, I think you were the one that mentioned that to me then.
Mm-hmm.
There is enough room where the building is located on the lot that on down the road, if we decided we needed another salt shed up there, which this location of these buildings and Chief Arnold's firehouse is centrally located pretty much within the township. So we don't have a problem running back and forth now the way that we have our truck route set up. Ryan's truck, which holds the most salt, is all the way up on the north end. So he loads up and he goes up to the north end and he can work the majority of all the way back before he even needs any more salt. So when we've got our salt shed back here. But other than that, this is just a preliminary. Wanted to get some information to you, let you know that what we're working on, and you know, we're getting closer. You know, hopefully by next Thursday's meeting, I'll have the other quote put together. We're a long shot for being to the end.
Yeah.
But
right. Jim, not to interrupt you, we talked about this too. The one thing people always seem to forget are the soft costs and the ancillary costs.
Yeah.
And Jim and Ryan and I have already talked to that, because the horror stories are you get to this project and you walk in the building and
you have nothing.
You have nothing. So once we get further down the road here, then we'll include those costs as well for your trustees.
Okay.
Any questions? My time up? Is our time up? It's your time.
Your
you
time.
Get 10 minutes, I get 10 minutes.
I'm
so.
Happy, so.
You're way past that.
Any questions?
I have no more questions.
We
I think I'll
continue these.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Somebody gather all the information to give to John. He has a
yeah.
Steve.
Okay. Yeah, Steve.
Okay. Thanks. I know we're getting ready to move into hopefully your area. You got any questions about it at all?
You guys can still mow the grass, though.
We are taking so much more grass off of our hands. We'll mow the lawn.
There we go.
You guys might inherit another lawnmower.
Okay.
Yeah, we're good.
The only question I would have is, can we try to plan to where to put just a regular gas tank, kind of like a diesel tank up there?
Sure, absolutely.
If we can try to figure out, I think we would need a bigger tank
than the one you got up now.
Than what I got, if you guys want to use it with us.
The
benchmark guy has made it. He's like, I'll get you a gas tank too. So if that's feasible to put that up there, or
well, everything we have is diesel. Everything we have. When you're saying gas, you mean diesel, or are you talking about regular?
No, I'm talking about regular gas.
Or just a new truck.
We just talked about it because Byron was interested in it.
Oh, yeah.
Just a new pickup truck.
So,
gas.
I just.
And just finding a way to be able to.
Is there a way to put it up there, or should we still keep the regular gas down here and just extend the size of the diesel tank up there?
Should have room up there.
We should have room.
Why not?
Okay. Just something to throw out there.
We should have room. And something else too, Chief, one thing that I know we talked about before, and I'm waiting to hear back from the City of Columbus. Once they bring in, and it all has to do with the water tap fees, mm-hmm. when they bring in the line for the building, still waiting to hear back from them to see if they will bring in a bigger line to where we can put another hydrant halfway back up that driveway that we would both be able to utilize. Because, I mean, we're always using water in the jetter.
Yeah.
And then you guys are always needing water, and we don't have to go out front and sit on Sullivan.
Sit on the road and fill up.
We will actually have a hydrant there. So it'd be good for both of us.
Yeah. Okay. Those can be discussions.
Yeah, I just wanted to. It was on my mind. I was just thinking about it.
Yep. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jim. Thanks, Ryan.
Yep.
Thank you, Jim. I'm fucking
go right ahead.
My turn?
Yep.
Chief Arnold's turn.
All right, gentlemen. Thank you for your time.
Uh-huh.
Hopefully we can be fairly quick because my deadline is August 7th. But thinking into the future and extending this township past year to year, it's time for a fire levy because our five-year renewal levy is about to go, which significantly restricts the budget for the fire department. And so Jimmy's plan, Jimmy Welch, chief before me, his plan was always to try to get in 2020, he really wanted that township-wide permanent levy to fund the fire department well into the future.
Mm-hmm.
And he had done a lot of this research before, but I wrote it down as plainly as I can. We seem to have success on presidential elections and presidential elections only to get levies passed without having to deal with the cycle of you have to fail it three times and then you can pass it, and it typically ends up passing on a presidential. So just to put your
And it's more cost effective to have it on a presidential
year. For sure. So in November 2008 was the last levy we passed without failing levies in front of it. That's a presidential election. Mm-hmm. And it was close. It was 1,400 to almost 1,300 for versus against. So then in May of 2013, we put on a levy and lost. November of that same year, 2013, we put on a levy, lost. We waited a year and put one on November of 2014, which would have been a midterm. We lost. Then November of 2016, which is a presidential, we passed a five-year temporary levy pretty substantially by 400 votes. And then we tried in May of 2020. That was the township-wide that we tried, and COVID hit. And we ended up losing that one. And then that November of 2020, which was presidential, we passed the current five-year term levy that we're on now. So with that future, it seems fairly obvious to me that we need to take advantage of this presidential election coming this fall to substantiate this department into the future. Mm-hmm. So, John has been a proponent of the township-wide, and to be honest, it's really our only shot that is fair to the community to maintain the fire department we're running today.
Otherwise, there's a realistic thing that we'll have one fire department, one house.
Yes, yeah. Because of the rising costs of operating fire departments,
mm-hmm.
and we do it substantially less per fire department than any department around us by a lot. Like right this year, 2024, my budget's just over $6 million. and that's including $1.5 million of SAFER money and $1.2 million in EMS billing. So if you look at what the levies are actually generating, our levies are only generating like 3.6 of that $6 million.
Right. These numbers, every time I look at them, they give me heart palpitations.
Yes. So if you were truly to just put on a levy to maintain two firehouses without incorporating that township-wide, where you're pulling money from the commercial properties that have been annexed or residential, any property that's been annexed since 2002, I think it's, I mean, it's just extraordinary. And you can't ask that of our residents. It's just not fair. They already pay a pretty substantial rate compared to most others because of all that commercial property has been annexed. Mm-hmm. And so our commercial funding is way less, and it's mostly residents that fund our public safety. I think we can get into, if we decide what we want to do, I mean, how to go about it. I think, honestly, the township-wide is the only way to maintain two firehouses. If we want to drop to one firehouse, then we can look at different funding opportunities, because obviously it doesn't cost nearly as much.
You are correct, you know, Mr. Fleshman is been a proponent of a township-wide levy for some time now, and the more I've looked into it, the more I like the idea of a township-wide levy, because I think we have lost enough money to businesses annexing out mm-hmm. for tax favors.
Right.
It's not fair to put all of it on the backs of our residents.
Right.
To provide them with the fire protection they really need, because I see you guys more than I see other municipalities.
Mm-hmm. Oh, for sure. Mm-hmm. For sure. The way we run the fire department now is about as effective and efficient as we can with 192s and 193s. Because of the way the township is broken up, if you looked at just pure distance from one end to the other, ideally you would want three fire departments or three stations
mm-hmm.
so that you could get there in the time the insurance companies want you to. That's obviously not feasible.
I don't know a municipality that has that.
Right. But because of our relationship with Columbus, we take as a department about 13,000 runs a year. The township requires about 5,000, of which we only take about half of. Because of that relationship of the closest truck goes, a Columbus truck is half the time closer to our township than our truck. And so my belief is in true automatic aid, which is what we do with Columbus, not what the rest of the townships around Central Ohio do. But what we do is, it doesn't matter, closest truck is coming, and it's coming without a delay. There's no games. We're not trying to pad numbers. You just, closest truck's going to come to you.
I think it's the way to go to try to recoup some more money, but I don't have any more questions for you right now.
Okay.
Have you got with fiscal on it looks like you got some really good numbers on the paperwork that needs to be filled out?
No, we haven't.
I know you got August 7th. I think you and I talked about August 7th. Mr. Mazur, I know you talked to the treasurers?
Oh, county auditor.
County auditor, yeah. Thank you. And how this will affect, is that, you have that information, or is that another day's discussion?
No, we have some projections. I just want to get one thing clear, Chief. You've got a $6 million budget.
Mm-hmm.
and that's supplemented by the $1.5 million safety grant. Mm-hmm. Okay. So the township is actually, the taxpayers contributing 4.5?
Yeah, ish, right around 4, okay. Somewhere in there.
Okay. So.
I think it was like 3.6, 3.7, just it.
Okay. But right now that grant is critical.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
We can't.
And you're in the process of applying for that again. Okay. Yes.
But if we don't have that, we are down to one house.
Yes. Absolutely. No questions asked.
My loaded question is, what do you need funding-wise, and I think you've told me this, to run both stations sufficiently to serve the residents?
If we were to just talk dream numbers so that equipment is purchased on time, like fire trucks, ambulances.
Okay.
And you want it to last 10 years, you would have to start bringing in about $7 million now.
Okay, I'm listening.
But that is everything. That's $1 million for a truck, a fire truck every 10 years, and you're operating two fire trucks, so that's every 5 years you're buying one fire truck.
So what's the lifespan of a fire truck?
It, according to the National Fire Protection Agency, it's 10 years.
Okay, and what are you getting out of them?
Our backup truck is 24 years old. Our second truck that's running out of 192s is 14 years old.
Okay.
This truck next door is 5 now. This is on its 5th year.
Okay.
So it's 4 and change.
So you're looking at one, maybe two new fire trucks.
One immediately.
Okay. And how are your medics? You just had one to save expenses. You have one, what, re-chassis?
We're trying, but they still don't have a chassis for it.
Understand.
But those are slated.
Is that Horton?
Yeah. But we can say what we want about the companies. The grass isn't greener. I keep hearing like, oh, Braun's getting trucks turned over, but I think if you talk to people that are in line, they're not getting it any faster, and they're not turning out a better product.
So your department solely would need $7 million a year for 10 years?
Yes.
With fingers crossed?
Yes, but that $7 million includes EMS billing. No, I'm saying like that revenue, I'm saying $7 million doesn't solely have to come from the tax.
What do you need tax money? Don't count.
Okay, so let's do
you
6.
You can't count those eggs, really.
I should have phrased that better. Yeah.
So $7 million, if you don't want it, $7 million all said and done, whether you include EMS billing in that or not. If you want to include EMS billing, we can drop it to 6. If you think EMS billing is solely there to purchase vehicles,
EMS billing is something that you may take a call, you may not.
Right.
It's not. I mean, that should be.
COVID drastically affected our EMS billing back when COVID was at its height.
Mm-hmm.
Not that you can predict those or foresee those issues, but.
Here's another big question for the trustees. You look at this township-wide levy, how secure are you with including both the police and the fire, or just including the fire?
I personally can't speak for the whole board, but I personally don't see us putting a police and fire township-wide levy on at the same time, because I do not believe it would be good for the residents to be faced with another police levy this soon of passing one.
Would that be a good time to ask the folks here what their initial opinion is on how to?
I mean, we could, but I'd rather do that in a meeting that's a little fuller. I mean, it's we've got four great residents.
Steve, I mean, correct me, but if we did a township-wide, including the police, the existing police levy would go away.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes, good point.
But, that is a good point, but we have to, yeah, we got a lot of work to do between now and August 7th.
For sure.
So, 6 mil with a continued EMS billing.
Yes.
And 7 mil, you would be, the EMS billing would just be icing on the cake, so to speak.
Correct.
Okay. Terrific.
And that's a huge number, and it hurts to say, but to get
longevity. Well, I appreciate you saying that, because you know, these folks are the ones that...
They're splitting the bill.
Yes, exactly.
Hopefully, if we can get a township-wide levy, we can relieve their pressure by having some of these corporations that's left and spreading out their money.
Yes. And when Westland Mall gets developed and maintains inside the township, that should extend this levy out even further, because that's a tax revenue block that we're not included in this at all, because there's no
that's where a townwide levy would help lower the cost to residents more.
Yeah,
if it goes either way,
right, and it would keep any other annexations from happening, because the business would be like, why would I annex to the city now? I still have to pay township tax, so.
All right. Anything else for us?
I do not. I just, I'm here to answer questions if you need.
Good. I'm just taking it all in.
Okay.
I had a conversation for 2 hours with John at the end of the last meeting, so.
I remember that, and I've had conversations with Bobby and also with
Please feel free to reach out to me at any time. I want to be 100% transparent with everyone, especially the residents, with you guys. I don't want any.
We're going to need to get a lot of. Either way, it's going to be a lot of work for us all.
Yes. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a lot of talking, a lot of assuring.
Especially if we go to township-wide levy, because not everybody understands.
Right.
They see tax levy.
Yes.
And you're looking at, I got this much money to spend.
Yeah.
Now you want me to spend this much? Mm-hmm. And we need to educate. It's going to be an education.
The most important thing is to get out and hold meetings everywhere.
Yep.
And
we're going to be counting on you too.
Absolutely.
You know, you realize as a chief, you're part of the PR team.
Oh, yes.
All right. I don't have anything else. Mr. Mays, do you have anything?
Not for the chief, no, sir.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you, chief.
You bet.
Again, like we were talking.
Thank you.
First of many.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, I'd rather do this preliminary stuff now. And then be forced to make knee-jerk reactions in July, because then we're not thinking clearly. Anything else?
The only thing, I just gave you trustees some information on these zoning rights.
Yep.
And I think a representative talked about it briefly. It doesn't sound like this is anything urgent. I just thought, This is information that the trustees can.
No, but one of the things that I would, you know, coming off of that, I'd like to talk to you guys about. We need home rule. If you want to be a township in 10 years, we've got to pass home rule in November.
So how do we get it out there?
Huh?
How do we educate people?
Well, we're developing a plan now.
Good.
But it's going to be very important to protect our boundaries. And to protect what's coming into our township, and for the future. I mean, one of the key things, and I've said this at the beginning of the year, I'm really focusing on, you know, moving this township forward. What does it look like? Well, first of all, in order to move the township forward, we must protect our borders. It's being gobbled up quicker than anything, not just ours. All townships are being gobbled up by larger municipalities because they're seeing it as, I'll be boldly honest, and I would say this to them, to their face, they see it as your money coming to them and not us. They want to spend your money and not you not have a say. I don't know how many of you, I know two that have been dealing with the city of Columbus, and they you know, I don't know how many people have dealt with them, but all they want is your tax dollars, and they're not going to listen to your voice.
It's right, basically, of the township.
They want to do some different things. They get something made up in their minds, they're going to do it, and we need to protect it, and which that means those of you that do show up to meetings, and I applaud you for doing it, especially meetings like this. Sometimes it's like, why did I come? I know, for you guys, but these are informational meetings, and we'll need you to talk to your neighbors and tell them how important this tax levy is, the township-wide tax levy, and how important home rule will be that when we put it on the ballot. I don't see any other way of this township surviving if we don't pass home rule in November. So, you have anything else?
Yes, sir.
We have one thing.
There is. I'm sorry to interrupt. And there was a discussion that came up about the ability for trustees to converse with employees.
Uh-huh.
I had that put on. Would you rather do it when the
chief
is here?
I would rather do it. I would rather do it with the chief here. And Mr. Fleshman called me when he was explaining why he wouldn't be here. Like he didn't need to explain to me, but he graciously did. And he asked if we could have that discussion because he wants to weigh in on it too.
Sure.
Because he wants to hear the comments. So we would like to table that for today. Mike, do you have anything?
I don't.
All right. I will adjourn the meeting.
We're not going to discuss the other items on the agenda.
Yeah.
We're
just going to leave
living.
We're just
going
to leave Robin 9 to 5.
One thing we didn't take into effect on the building.
The discussion I'll have with the trustees after our meeting on
one
Monday.
Direction.
No, thank you.
Yep. And the cost saving of us.
No, since we're not going
to. But you have to have an electrical engineer. You have to have a plumbing.